So far, in our studies of Galatians, we have listened to Paul as the apostle of Jesus Christ, to Paul the theologian, and to Paul the defender of the faith. But now, as we turn to Galatians chapter 4 and verses 12 to 20, we are going to hear Paul the pastor, the passionate lover of his flock. For here in this passage, dear listeners, Paul appeals to the Galatians with deep feelings and immense tenderness. In verse 12, for example, he calls the Galatians their brothers, his brothers or brethren. And keep in mind that Paul was a Jew. The Galatians were Gentiles. For a Jew to call a Gentile or to call Gentiles brothers was quite a statement of tenderness and acceptance. Then in the first part of verse 19, he calls the Galatians my dear children or little children, an expression the apostle John, the disciple of love, was very fond of. But Paul goes even further than John in verse 19, for he likens himself to their mother, who is in labor over them until Christ is formed in them. Not only did the legalism the Judaizers introduced to the Galatians endangered their salvation, but it had affected their lives so that theirs was no longer a loving church, but a church that was split up into factions. In fact, Paul tells them in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 15, that if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You see, according to the doctrine of justification by faith, we all are 100% sinners saved by grace. But the moment you decide to be saved by legalism, the moment you come under the umbrella of legalism, salvation by works or salvation by keeping the law, then we begin to compare ourselves with each other and we begin to judge each other on the basis of our performance, just as the Pharisees did in the days of Christ. And this, dear listener, is the effects of legalism. And that is what I have entitled our study for today. Galatians 4, 12 to 20 talks about the effects of legalism. And with this as the foundation, let us begin by reading this passage. If you have your Bible, dear listener, please turn to it. I'm going to read from my New King James. You follow from your Bible. Galatians chapter 4, verse 12 to 20. This is what Paul wrote. Brethren, I urge you to become as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They jealously quote you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Here we have the beloved Paul responding as a pastor with deep concern to the flock that he had established in Galatia. Here is what legalism does to a church. Let's take this step by step. In verse 12, Paul says, "Brethren, I urge you to become as I am, for I am as you are." Well, what Paul is saying here is this, that there was a time that he was like these Judaizers, a legalist, but he gave it all up for the gospel. And what he's saying here in verse 12 is, Galatians, please follow my example. Now, if you want to know what Paul really meant here, he expresses the same idea in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 9. I'd like to read this to you so that you understand what Paul is saying to the Galatians and to us who may be trapped into legalism. In chapter 3 of Philippians and verse 3, Paul describes the true Christian. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." In other words, to Paul, a genuine Christian is one who is totally resting in Christ for salvation, because that believer recognizes that he or she is 100% a sinner, saved by grace alone. Then in verse 4 of Philippians 3, Paul said, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Now the word flesh here refers to anything that is true of us. It could be our birth, it could be our performance, it could be our standing in the church or status, that we are depending on fully or partially for our salvation. And Paul tells us, the Philippians, that if there's anyone that can brag about what they accomplished through their own effort, he more than any Philippian. And then in verse 5 and 6, he explains what he was as a Pharisee, a man zealous for God and a man zealous for the law. Listen to what Paul says about himself before his conversion. Philippians 3, 5 and 6. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, that is zeal for God, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." This is what Paul thought of himself before his conversion. He thought of himself a very successful believer in God. "But," verse 7 adds, "what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Now listen to verse 9. "And be found in him," that is in Christ, "not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Paul knew by experience what it meant to be a legalist. But when he found Jesus Christ and his righteousness, legalism no longer had any meaning for him. It was filthy rags. It was rubbish, as he says in Philippians. And so Paul is telling the Galatian Christians, please don't return back to legalism. Please become like me, as I became like you. That is, I accepted Jesus. And so did they in the beginning. Then in verse 13 of Galatians 4, Paul says, "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." Paul is appealing to their emotions. He's appealing to their past experience. He's reminding them that when he first came to Galatia and preached the gospel, he was suffering some terrible pain. And obviously, as we look at verse 15, the problem he had was to do with his eyes. Now, some scholars feel that this could have been because of the Damascus experience, but this does not necessarily have to be so. All we know that his eyes must have looked awful. They must have been full of pus, and he must have been an unsightly person. And yet, the Galatians didn't mind this. They were willing to ignore this terrible condition that he was in. They were willing to do all this because they were so appreciative of the gospel that Paul had brought them. In fact, in verse 15, Paul is saying that they were so appreciative that they were willing to pluck their own eyes and give it to him in appreciation for the good news that he had brought to them. And he is now pleading with the Galatians in verse 15. What then was the blessing in joy? May I remind you, he says, the way you responded to this wonderful message. And now that you have listened to the Judaizers, have you turned against me? Have I become your enemy? Here I was in Galatia, bringing good news at tremendous cost to me. I could have used my eye problem as an excuse not to preach to you, but I wanted you to know Jesus Christ. I wanted you to hear the good news, and I was willing to suffer so that I may bring to you Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And you rejoiced in this. And now, what has happened, dear Galatians? That is his plea as a pastor to his flock. And then, in verse 17 of Galatians 4, Paul turns to the Judaizers. And this is what he tells them about these Judaizers. They jealously court you, but not for good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. You see, a legalist wins converts not to Jesus Christ but to themselves. And this is what the Judaizers were guilty of. They were zealous, yes, they were very determined. They worked hard, but not to lift up Christ, but to draw disciples towards them. So that, as Paul will say in Galatians 6:12, that they may glory in the flesh. They may glory in what they have accomplished by bringing people towards them. In other words, what Paul is saying to the Galatians is that the true motivation behind the Judaizers was not their salvation, but their pride and their glory. And so Paul is saying, in verse 19, turning back to himself and his relationship to the Galatians, he says in verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. You see, Paul likens his flock to children that have been produced by a mother. You know, a mother goes through a lot of pain when she delivers her children. But afterwards, she rejoices in the fact that they are born in this world. They bring joy and hope to them. And Paul is saying, I am like your mother. I was willing to go through all this terrible pain so that you may be found in Christ. And now I am still in pain until you are fully and totally established in Christ. You see, my dear listener, when you and I become a Christian, we change our citizenship from citizens of this world, which is under Satan, to citizens of heaven, which is under Christ. But physically, we are still living in this world. So Christians are really citizens of heaven living in enemy territory. For as the Apostle John in his first epistle, chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul, John tells us that the whole world, apart from believers, are under the evil one. And when you become a Christian, Satan has lost a subject. Do you think he will take this sitting down? And the answer is no. He will do his very best to gain you back into his kingdom. And one of the means by which he destroys a believer's faith is by perverting the gospel. And this is what he did to the Galatians through the Judaizers. He deceived them. He cast a spell over them, as chapter 3 of Galatians brought out. And now he is trying to deprive them of the joy of salvation that they have received in Christ. And so Paul is pleading with the Galatians that they may return back to Christ, and that he is not going to let go of this situation. He is going to continue working for them, pleading with them until they are fully established in Christ. Then he ends up in verse 20. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. You see, Paul would have loved to come to Galatia again physically, but he had much to do. And of course, transportation in those days was very difficult. But what he is saying to the Galatians, he questions whether they will turn back. He wants to be there so that he can see them turning back to Christ. And he has doubts because he knows the power of legalism is very strong. And he's pleading with them to return back to Christ as their only hope. You see, with great pain, Paul first preached the gospel to the Galatians. He was willing to ignore his suffering to bring good news of salvation to the Galatians. And now he is willing to go through the same pain all over again to restore them to Christ. These verses truly express the heart of Paul, who reflected God's agape love. You know, in Romans 9, verse 2 and 3, he expresses the same thing towards his own fellow Jews who hated him and who had turned against him. He says, I am willing to be accursed that my own fellow man should be saved. You see, Paul was not just a theologian, but the theologian of the New Testament. Paul was a pastor at heart. He had a great concern, a great burden for the people he had converted. He was not just an evangelist. He did not just come to a church, established it, and then leave for home and let them, you know, fend for themselves. No, Paul was a pastor at heart. And when he heard anything negative about the people that he had converted, he would write to them. And here he writes this very stern letter. And he tells them, I wish I could use kinder words, but I'm afraid that if I do so, you may not realize the seriousness of your problem. And so I'm using the strong word that you, dear Galatians, may turn back to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, what Paul is saying to the Galatians is also true of us today. We are still living in enemy territory, dear listener. It is still very easy for the devil to sidetrack us from the gospel and turn us back to legalism. As I mentioned in our last two studies, legalism is not something I have to learn. It's part of my very being. It's part of our culture. It's part of our very nature. All I have to do is stop preaching the gospel, and my people will sooner or later end up on the road to legalism. That is why it is important that we constantly, as pastors, need to preach the gospel in clarity, so that there is no mistake, that there is no idea that man can, by his own performance, save himself. And so, my dear listener, I hope you take this message to heart. I hope you take Paul's burden for the Galatians and apply it personally to yourself. Paul, the great pastor, wants no one to be lost, because you see, if you return back to legalism, the devil has pulled you out of Christ. And he tried this all through the history of the early Christian church. One of the people he tried were the Jewish Christians themselves. The Judaizers, who had accepted Christ, were in danger of losing their salvation That is why the book of Hebrews is constantly reminding the Jewish Christian, please don't go back to Judaism. Please don't go back to the legalism they were raised up with. I would like to read to you, as we conclude this passage, I would like to read to you Hebrews chapter 10, because this is very meaningful to those who have been trapped into legalism. This is very much in harmony with what we have just studied in Galatians 4, verse 12 to 20. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to the end of that chapter, verse 39. This is what the writer of Hebrews says to the Jewish Christians who were facing the same danger as the Galatians. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You see, it is not enough to just believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, justification is by faith alone. But Jesus himself made it clear in Matthew 10, verse 22, that faith must endure unto the end. And so, the writer of Hebrews is saying in verse 35 of Hebrews 10, please don't cast your confidence, that is your confidence in Jesus Christ, which has great reward. For Christians need to be patient. They need to endure unto the end. They need to cling to their faith until the reality of salvation takes place at the second coming of Christ. Let me put it this way, dear listener. The righteousness that qualifies you for heaven now and in the judgment is always in Christ, never in you, not even what God does in you. But the faith that makes the righteousness of Christ effective in your life or in you is not in heaven but in you. And that faith can be touched. That faith can be destroyed. And that is the real purpose of Satan when he enters the Christian church and perverts the gospel. But the writer of Hebrews says in verse 36, for we have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, and what is the will of God? That our faith endures unto the end, you may receive the promise. And then we have this promise brought out in verse 37 and 38. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now he that is just by faith shall live. That is the only way you and I can be saved, dear listener. But, there's a but there. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You see, God is a God of love. And where there is love, there can be no compulsion. As long as you are a believer, you are giving God the permission, the right to take you to heaven. Not because of your faith, but because of the righteousness of Christ. Faith doesn't contribute towards our salvation. Faith is only an instrument, a channel by which we receive the righteousness of Christ. That is why the New Testament is absolutely clear. We are not saved because of our faith, but we are saved by faith or through faith. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, hold on to your faith. Return back to Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews is saying the same thing in chapter 10. And now look at verse 39 of Hebrews 10. That we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So it is not enough, dear listener, to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the beginning. But our faith must endure unto the end. And that is why Paul, writing to young Timothy, says, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith. Faith is a battle in the sense that we must not give it up. The devil will do everything to pull you out of Christ. But thank God, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, as long as we recognize that we are 100% sinners saved by grace, the devil cannot touch us. But legalism tells you that you have something good in you. that you can save yourself by your performance. May I remind you, you can't come to Christ and receive His righteousness because you admit that you are 100% a sinner. And then after accepting Him, admit that you can do something good towards your salvation. No, listener, it's either all of Christ or none of Him. And it is my prayer as you wrestle with your faith that you will not give it up. May your faith endure unto the very end. May you, like Paul, say to God or to your fellow believers, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith. Now there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness, and not only for me, but for all those that love His appearance. Legalism, my dear listener, is one of the greatest enemies of the gospel. Legalism is one of the greatest dangers of the Christian believer. That is why we must constantly remind ourselves two things. Number one, that we are by nature and by performance 100% sinners. Oh yes, our performance may not be 100%, but our nature is 100% sinners. So much so that even if you have not committed a single sin for the last 2 hours, you were still a sinner during those 2 hours. Because our sins are simply the fruit of what we are. That is why God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Not to condemn us, but that through His performance, through His doing and dying, we could be saved. And now that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you, dear listener, do not allow anything, anybody, any philosophy to pull you out of Christ. Be on your guard against legalism that may come to you in a very subtle form, in a very religious garb, so that you may be deceived. It is my prayer that you shall know the truth and you shall constantly hold on to this truth, and you, having obeyed the truth, may be set free, so that one day when Christ comes, you may with great jubilation cry out, "This is my God, we have been waiting for Him." Oh, my dear listener, man's only hope is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Justification is by faith alone and nothing else. Let no one rob you of this truth, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.